Welcome to Mumbo Jumbo. I'm Matt Lesmeister, and I'm joined by my good friend Charlie Fisher. Each week, we're going to go diving deep into the Nerdverse, talking all things Marvel, DC, Star Wars, and beyond. This week, we'll dive headfirst into the pilot episode of Falcon and the Winter Soldier, entitled New World Order. If you haven't watched this episode yet, beware, there will be spoilers. Charlie, I couldn't be more stoked to talk about this episode. It was everything and more that I imagined when picturing this, when they first announced it. Oh man, what was it? Almost 2 years ago at this point?
Yeah, a while now. I mean, it was definitely...
At the end of the episode, I think we'll both give our ratings, right? What we thought it was out of 10. But I think we start off just giving a little recap, maybe 60 seconds each on what happened in the episode and key highlights, and then we'll dive deep into the different themes. Why don't you get started?
Yeah. So, I mean, the basis of this episode was we were catching up with where Sam and Bucky are post blimp or the snap. And essentially in the beginning, they're not together. Hopefully, you know, they're going to, throughout their journey, they will come up and team up, which is something me and Matt are going to talk about. Sam is really in a place right now where he's struggling with just, you know, at the end of Endgame, for all of those who I'm hoping you've seen that if you're listening to this podcast, but when Captain America, Steve, he goes, you know, off to live his life in the alternate timeline, he leaves the shield to Sam. And now in present day, you know, Sam is really struggling with, you know, being the new icon for the entire world. I think it really resonates with what's going on in our society today. And, you know, he ultimately decides that he wants to give the shield back to, you know, the U.S. government to kind of have within a museum in Washington, D.C. to, you know, memorialize Captain America and everything great that he's done. So from there, he's still working with the government on, you know, side things. You know, he's still the Falcon, and he is though struggling just with, like, you know, his work life, his family life, and, you know, he's gone back home to try to be with his, help his family run a business. We learned that, you know, his father has passed away. They own like a boat where they, you know, are selling. They were fishermen, and, you know, they had a little business going on, and they're having trouble keeping the business afloat. The sister kind of wants to sell it, and, you know, Sam doesn't want to lose his legacy and his family's legacy. He really wants to be part of it. And, you know, one thing that a lot of people have always asked, do the Avengers get paid? We learn through this when he actually goes to get a bank loan to help out his sister that, you know, they weren't getting paid anything at all, doing it, you know, just for the help of the country out. And, you know, Sam was actually one of the people who disappeared for the 5 years. So he has no income on his books for the last 5 years. So they're not going to help him out. So he's just really struggling, trying to, you know, find his purpose in the world. To me, that's like the big thing that's going on with Sam in this first episode. And, you know, Matt, I don't know if you have anything you want to add, or if you now want to tackle Bucky.
Yeah. I think we, to kind of come off of that, you mentioned a lot of really key things that I think made this episode so unique and kind of really the new phase, the next phase of Marvel. But it is basically, I look at this show very much like a military show. You've got two soldiers that just finished probably the world's greatest war. And they're trying to assimilate back into society, right? Between Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Bucky and Sam, they're both struggling in their own ways to get back into a society post-snap, post-war with Thanos. And I was actually texting some of my military friends as I'm watching the show and just, you know, seeing what their thoughts were in terms of how that kind of matched with, I've got buddies that have served in war that are do contract work. And I'm like, you know, how close is this to what people go through? And they said they actually did Sam in particular was doing a really good job in terms of how he was trying to adjust back to the world after such a catastrophic event. Now, he's not a super soldier. He is a human being, right? What I really liked about, you know, what this episode dove into with both characters, you talked a lot about Sam, so I'll go into on the Bucky side. you know, Bucky, he mentioned he didn't have any, he was from one battle to the next for, you know, almost 100 years. And his only peaceful moment was when he was in Wakanda. Now he's not supposed to be doing any work as part of his pardon. So Bucky has been pardoned by the U.S. government. And part of that work means he cannot do further contract work. He cannot be fighting any battles, things like that. And so you see him going through almost his 9 steps of recovery, if you will, which I think one of the most powerful scenes you'll notice, and I'm hoping this is a recurring theme throughout the 6-episode stint, but his one-on-one time with his therapist. I thought that was a really powerful scene. It brought some, it gave Sebastian Stan, hasn't had a lot to work with in terms of dialogue in previous movies. And in this one, he's really, you get to dive deep into his character, into his thought process, into his attitude, and into his whole approach to living in a brand new age, right? He's from the 1940s. So
crazy.
So Bucky's story this episode is really diving into how he's assimilating back, but also repenting for everything he did while he was under the Winter Soldier brainwash. And so they actually had a flashback scene that ended up being even more important by the end of the episode, where he did kill an innocent bystander that witnessed one of his contract killings. And you see him actually spending time with that young man's father and trying to be a good friend to him without telling him anything about his past and how he played a role in his son's death. And that actually led to some other really cool interactions for Bucky. First dipping his toe back into the dating pool, which ended abruptly with some more kind of post-traumatic stress and guilt that he was having with regards to what he did as the Winter Soldier. I'm really interested to see how that continues. It seems like they're going to really dive into how he has relationships with people. I think it'll be a friendship thing between him and Sam once they reconnect, which I do want to get into. How do we kind of predict that they reconnect? That was probably the most surprising thing in this episode for me, was the fact that the two starring roles had no interaction with one another at all, other than a comment made by the therapist that Sam had been texting Bucky and Bucky wasn't responding. So all in all, a great episode. There's a lot to unpack, and I think you touched on a lot of the key themes that I do want to unpack. And I think we should get into some of the cameos and some of the exciting moments, and then also the key themes with the different families and relationships. And we definitely want to get into that opening stunt sequence, yeah, which is probably on par or above the movie quality. You know, so Charlie and I, for those of you that are listening, have been going back and forth for the better part of a decade with regards to the Marvel Cinematic Universe and what our favorite parts are. And we actually, one of the reasons we got together to do this, we share some the same passion towards this whole industry, but we also have very differing opinions on what makes these things, these movies and this universe great. And for me, it's no CGI, keep CGI out. Everything should be practical. Everything that is as close to reality as possible are my favorite parts of the MCU. And I think in many ways for you, some of the CGI intensive movies, things like Thor Ragnarok, you were a big fan of. So I really, let's do that now. Yeah. Actually, I want to dive into that opening action sequence. I'll just summarize it real quick, but we had a recurring or a repeat villain, if you will, that came back from the Winter Soldier movie. It was great, played by George St. Pierre. He is a MMA fighter. He was a UFC world champion, and he plays the Leaper in the comic book world. basically Sam Wilson is still doing, as you alluded to earlier, he's still doing contract work for the government. They send him in as a pilot to fly in above in the flight zone that was still legal for U.S. forces without getting below a certain height, if you will, to get into foreign territory. And he's chasing the Leaper through mountains. They're in wingsuits. They're jumping from helicopter to helicopter. I looked it up, Charlie. That was all practical effects.
Wow.
Very limited CGI. So
I would not have expected that, actually.
Yeah. So stunt coordinators basically looked up what could be done with a wingsuit and what was practical, what was able to be done without, you know, significant danger to the, they call them pilots, actually. And so that one sequence where the wingsuit flyer just kind of played by, well, the character was played by George St. Pierre, yep. But the stuntman that kind of got sucked into the helicopter, if you will, kind of flew in sideways, that actually happened. That was a real stunt. That's some
which Tom is amazing, especially for, not to like interrupt you, but that goes on with just the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I know the lines blur between, at this point in our day of age of entertainment, from the movie theater to what quote unquote television is. But the fact that that was like the opening scene for a streaming show, I think that really set the bar for what we can expect, not just from this show, but from the entire Marvel Cinematic Universe shows that are going to be on Disney Plus. It was amazing.
Yeah. And that's where it kind of, you know, other than the last episode of WandaVision, in many ways, this was like, so WandaVision taught us that Marvel can go into a way different territory and bring something unique to the Disney Plus platform. And then Captain America or the Winter Soldier, Falcon, the Winter Soldier is telling us that, hey, listen, we're still big movies. We're still, the quality is going to be the same. The action is going to be the same. We're not going to dive too far outside of what made us great in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. This action sequence just took it to the next level. It's probably, in my opinion, I watch a lot of TV. I'm a big fan of TV. This was, without being over dramatic about it, this was probably the best action sequence I've ever seen on a TV show. And it happened the first 10 minutes of the pilot episode of this show. I just can't wait to see what they do.
I actually agree with you. I like couldn't believe that. I mean, part of that was in like the trailers, but I mean, the fact for how long the sequence even was, and like that's immediately how it started. I know you were just talking a little bit about WandaVision. I personally loved WandaVision, but I do know a bunch of, you know, more casual probably Marvel fans who go for the action of it all. When that show first started and they were doing, you know, the period piece sitcoms, they were like, what the hell is this? Like, this is just, this isn't Marvel. This was Marvel. The moment you turn that on, the music was playing and like, it was amazing. Like I totally agree with Matt, like not over being dramatic. It was that good. It was unbelievable. And you like, you didn't want that to end.
Right. Yeah. And honestly, I was texting you as I was watching it. I couldn't even get through that whole sequence without jumping out of my seat and saying, this is the best show I've ever watched. This is amazing. 10 out of 10. I love everything about it. It was thrilling. It was exciting. It was at the level, if not better than the movies. And for me, just, I love seeing, for me, movie magic is much more than, you know, computer generated imaging. For me, it's about, you know, taking real life stunt work and building it into the story, making it work. And these pilots, these wingsuit pilots risked their lives for our entertainment. And it is some of the most breathtaking action sequences I've ever seen. They're the only time I've seen something like this from a skydiving perspective. Like there was a wingsuit scene in the remake of Point Break, which was another, when you saw it in theaters, it would send chills up your spine. I can't believe people are actually doing this. This was on that level, even better than that. And these are, you know, full on extreme athletes just putting their lives on the line for our entertainment. And it worked. It really, really worked. And it kind of, it was a perfect dive back into here. Here's Falcon, who's, you know, he had some key moments in the Avengers series and Captain America, you know, Civil War and Winter Soldier, but his skills have gone up. I mean, not only has his skills gone up, his tech has gone up, which they make remark to with the Stark tech. He is a human being with no special abilities, and you could see he's been training. His fight skills are next level, and the technology is working for him, and he's just kicking ass and taking names. And it just makes me love the character of Falcon even more after seeing him navigate those different mountaintops and the jumping in and out of helicopters. And it was incredible.
And Anthony Mackie, he's an incredible actor who has not gotten enough credit. I know Matt and I have talked about this offline, and it's just kind of like, this is his time to shine, which I really, that's the other thing that's been great about these Disney Plus shows. It's like, yeah, you know, the Iron Man's, the Captain America's, the Thor's are great, but this is really getting to focus on the side characters that got screen time in the movies, but now we can really like dive into them. Same with Sebastian Stan. Like, I'm really excited to get to see him really own the screen as well. And kind of, we mentioned earlier, actually have some dialogue and be a character, not just kind of like a robot, which he was for a decent amount of the movies.
Right. So one more thing on that opening sequence before we go into the kind of more emotional themes of the episode. But so did Batroc the Leaper survive, and will we see him again?
I think we will not see him again, and he did not survive. That's my opinion. I think it was a good for that scene, and like, it's not part of the story, and it's just time to move on. It was a good callback.
I think it was a great callback. I think they left it open for him to make a return. I don't think we will see him this season, but if they decide, I know they haven't announced anything further than this 6-episode run, but I think this is going to be a hit. I think that they're going to need more than just 6 episodes. And for me, I think he comes back. The way he still had his parachute, they didn't show him hitting the ground. I think he survived. So okay. I hope we see him again. I love GSP. Great UFC fighter. Some of the best action sequences in his, you know, maybe what, 10 minutes, 15 minutes of screen time between Winter Soldier and this. I hope we see him again.
Cool.
Why don't you mentioned the theme, you know, the storyline with the Wilson family. I think we want to dive into that a little bit, because I think that's going to be the emotional backbone of, you know, the rest of the season is how Sam is trying to help his sister and help out his, you know, family's legacy back in Louisiana. And it was just, it seems like that's really where the heart is right now. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it really showed another side of Sam, and, you know, it really has parallels with just, you know, America today. You know, a lot of people are struggling to meet ends meet, and it's not necessarily always their fault. It's just the economy right now just isn't that great. And everything with, it's kind of funny that this was made before the pandemic, but a lot of the themes are perfectly kind of rolling into the story, which I think is, I mean, it's great because it makes it feel really current, but it just shows how those are just storylines that unfortunately just work all the time because of, you know, these unfortunate situations. I do think we're gonna, I don't necessarily really want to get this deep into it, but it's also gonna, I think, play a really big part that Sam is Black, and how I thought that played a big issue with, you know, that's part of the reason I think he feels like he had a lot of weight of becoming the next Captain America. But I also feel that, not to jump to the end, but he was totally tricked by the government, that, you know, he gave that shield as an honor and, you know, wanted to leave that in the past. And they, you know, immediately they made themselves a new quote unquote Captain America. I believe his actual name is the US agent. And of course he was a white man. I don't want to really get into that, but like, I think that's going to play a big theme in the show. Like, that was not done on purpose. And there's a reason they did not push Sam to become the new Captain America. They just totally agreed with what he wanted to do. And that's unfortunate, in my opinion.
I think it is, it's going to be a huge part of the story. And I think it's important that we talk about it, because I think that is a huge, I think that's where the story is going to go. And I think it's timely. They chose the next Captain America. They hand chose it. They said he made the right decision turning the shield in. He made the wrong decision turning the shield in.
Yeah.
And actually that decision brought in my favorite cameo of the episode, Colonel Rhodes, coming out. Oh my God. I almost jumped out of my chair when I saw Colonel Rhodes.
Me too. I was actually surprised. That was a great cameo. I didn't expect him to be in the show or being at that, like, immediately in the pilot episode.
And I want to see if he returns or if that it plays a role in how Armor Wars starts, which is another show I'm so excited about. And yeah, something we're definitely going to have to talk about on this forum, because Armor Wars, there are so many ways when that gets made, there are so many directions they can head in, and Justin Hammer's still out there in prison and I want him to come back, but we'll get into that obviously when Armor Wars announcements get made. But it brought back what I liked about his decision to hand in the shield to the Smithsonian and his speech and that whole kind of sequence. It really showed the you know, Sam is just a good man, period, right? He understands that the symbol of Captain America is a heavy weight to carry, that Steve Rogers is the best of us, was the best of us. And to take on that mantle is a responsibility that he didn't feel that he was ready for, or didn't feel that he was worthy of. And that's kind of, Colonel Rhodes came in and was kind of giving the speech, like, he gave you this shield. This was for you to take up the mantle. So I think that becomes an even bigger theme is like, how do you live up to the Steve Rogers, the superhuman, I guess that shadow that he cast, how do you live up to that? And then the themes behind it, which I think you hit the nail on the head. They specifically chose the next Captain America. And I think race played a factor in that. And then how does that play into, you know, how Sam kind of, he's going to get the shield at some point.
Yeah, he's going to get the shield.
He's going to get the shield. And so how does that happen? What does that look like? Is there tension with the U.S. government? Is there tension with taking up that mantle? And I think it'll be a heavy theme. And it kind of also started filtering into his family life with his sister and them trying to take out a loan. And
yeah, you know, she kind of touch on that. That's great.
You know? Yeah. I mean, I think it's going to be what I like what you said is that this, what Marvel does so well that I think the difference between Marvel and DC, you know, Snyder Cut came out this weekend. We're going to have to talk about that at some point too. DC treats the heroes like they're gods and they have no, they're no not, they have no flaws and there's nothing human about them that you can relate to. What Marvel does so well is it grounds these characters with humanity. They're relatable. Their struggles are struggles that the common man shares, right? So when you see what's happening to the Wilson family, they're small business owners. That is happening to millions of people today in a post-COVID-19 world, right? The theme couldn't be any more timely. And when they're asking for a loan and the guy says, you haven't had income for the last 5 years. Well, they were wiped out of the face of existence for 5 years. How are you supposed to generate income? The snap. And that's what I loved about where this is going to go, where no other property set so far except Spider-Man touched on it. But they kind of made it seem like it was almost comedic, like, oh, man, like, we're 5 years, you know, older and still in high school. And like,
yeah,
but there were the emotional ramifications of just getting snapped out of existence for 5 years while the rest of the world lived on, and what that does to you financially, what it does to the economy, what it does to the way governments govern people, it's gonna play a huge role in terms of what these guys are up against in the rest of the season. It's gonna play a huge role in how the family relations tie together. And it's interesting kind of seeing Sam assimilate back to culture as a known Avenger, and how he's trying to use that to his advantage. And even that won't work to get alone.
Yeah, which I personally thought that was totally playing the race card, where if that was Steve Rogers going in there, I mean, he gets that loan, no questions asked.
Right. And his sister, that's what she said. She was like, this always happens to us. Like, you know, surprise, surprise. And that's what I'm saying. I really do think that's going to be a common theme. And you know what? It's timely. It's an important theme. And it's, again, it's what Marvel does so well in terms of making things relatable, making them real. And making you feel like this is, you know, yeah, these guys are, you know, superheroes. They're fighting, you know, off crime and, you know, alien forces and things like that. But it still feels very, very relatable, very, very real, I'm sure, for millions of Americans. And so I'm excited to see what they do with that, how they make it even more relevant to the story going forward. And then you touched on it in your opening, and I think it's the one thing they do in this show that differs from the comics. In the comics, I think Tony Stark started a fund that the Avengers would get something like, I think it was like something like $5,000 a month or something like that. In the movies, they actually, he started that fund to help MIT students with their ideas. That was in Iron Man 3, I believe. And one of the Avengers movies, they touched on it too. So looks like Avengers aren't getting paid. Sam's direct quote was, there was a lot of goodwill, and that's it. And so that's crazy, because these guys are investing their time and their lives into saving the world, and nobody's paying them for it.
Which is,
I'm sure you get some money from contract work.
Yeah, I mean, these are comic book movies, and like, there's, that's what, not to keep going on, what Marvel makes is so great. It's like, that's something normally, you know, you get when you're watching these, you just get sucked into a world of make-believe, but like, they really make this feel grounded and real. Like, most of the time it's like, oh, who cares, they're superheroes, like, they don't need money, but like, they really have grounded them in like a real world, and they're real people. And that's why I think it's so great about this show versus other ones. Like, this is their property that is the most grounded, and like, it for most part could be real.
Right I mean, And that everything, what I like about this show so much so far, right, is, like you said, it feels real. And even to the action sequences there, it's as real as it can possibly be in the MCU. And so that's why my favorite movies in the MCU were all the Iron Man movies and Captain America, because they just, it was, there wasn't a whole lot of magic. It's technology, and it's science, and it feels like 20 years from now, things like that could exist, right? Doesn't feel that far-fetched. And that's what makes it just even more, like, that's why I think they can dive into these themes of that are just so real and so relevant to regular human beings. And they'll capitalize on that for the rest of this series, in a really grounded way. And I'm so excited to see where they go. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, we're talking a lot about Sam. Sam's obviously the heart of this story, at least episode one, right? We followed him the most. We got to see some new characters, within his network. And I think we circle back on his story, and particularly how it ties in with the new potential villains here coming towards the end of the episode with the Flag Smashers. But let's get into a little bit about Bucky. What did you like most about Bucky's storyline this week?
The thing that I really liked is how he is still struggling to deal with his past and everything he's done. I mean, it's very believable. I mean, people who come back from war deal with this, some people, for their entire life, and they can never get a hold of it. And he's really showing that he has major issues with it. And as well, like, I mean, he was brainwashed. It's not like he was doing it willingly, but he's not making an excuse for that, which I personally like about his character. There could be times where he was like, oh, I wasn't in control, which I know a lot of people try to tell him to make him feel better. But he, at the end of the day, is, you know, owning up to it. It's like, no, but I did this. And I thought it was really, you know, we touched about it early on. I liked how he was, he's making amends. I think that is going to be a big part of his character arc, and how in the first episode they focused on him befriending the father of someone that he did murder just out of, you know, he didn't need to do it, but he just did it because he was a witness to something he was doing, and he was just such a monster that he just annihilated everyone that came into his path. And I enjoyed that he is dealing with that, and is, you know, he wants to move on with his life, but he's not just going to do it until he makes amends with everyone in his past. And I said, I think that's going to be a theme. I think other characters are going to come in the show that he's doing that to.
Yeah. And you know, he did some terrible things, right? I'm wearing a Tony Stark shirt, right? He killed Tony Stark's parents. And what I do love about Bucky and how Sebastian Stan plays him, and you just touched on this, he doesn't try to make excuses. He doesn't, like, even in Civil War, you know, it's not like he was like, you know, it didn't seem like he was overly optimistic or overly anxious to defend himself and say, you know, Tony, why are you coming after me?
Yeah, and Steve was making excuses for him all day long.
It was all Steve, and all really Bucky was doing was, like, defending himself in terms of, like, not getting killed. But he wasn't ever in attack mode. He wasn't ever, like, trying to justify anything that he did. And Sebastian Stan does such a good job, and I feel like he didn't have enough to work with in the movies, and now he has a great opportunity with this show to take on this character and to show his remorse and to show how he pays amends and how he's going to deal with that going forward. I really, you know, I like what he's doing. I like what he's doing with the role so far in this series. It's emotionally grounded. I don't think they've even scratched the surface, you know, of him. You know, they've really gotten into Sam's background in terms of how he's dealing with the loss of Steve Rogers. 'Cause, you know, they know Steve is alive in the past or whatever alternate universe. Right. Yeah. But it's still like losing a friend. He's gone, right? He's not coming back. The world thinks he's sitting on a moon base watching over them. Like he's like, like he's that guy in Watchmen or whatever. Dr. Manhattan. Yeah. But he's gone, and that has an impact on these people that were so close to him. And I feel like it has a bigger impact on Bucky that they haven't scratched the surface on yet. Cause he's dealing with so much other stuff. One of the things that I noticed, and I don't know if you noticed this, you know, Sam is recognized as an Avenger, as a hero. He is a celebrity, right? Bucky goes unnoticed.
Yeah.
Do you think because of his past as a villain and all the bad things he did that maybe they just never even said he was part of that fight? They're trying to sweep it under the rug. Like, you know, even talking to that girl he was on a date with, she's like, how old are you? And he said 106, and she started laughing because she thought he was joking. Like,
yeah, it's funny you say that. I didn't think of that during the episode. That is such a great point. I feel like the whole Bucky Barnes persona to the world is dead. So he, when they got him out of the Winter Soldier persona. I believe he's gone under the radar of anyone actually knowing who he is. I think that's where they're getting at with that. I didn't think of that, but you're totally right. Like if people know who Sam is, they should know who Bucky is, but I think that's part of the reason.
Yeah. I hope they explain that. I hope it ends up becoming part of the storyline in a bigger way. But they might just kind of, it might just not be something that they address. He is an introverted guy. He does just, he fights wars and he's kind of behind the scenes. He's kind of, he's not a very outgoing personality. He's very shy, it seems. And I think it's the remorse that he's dealing with, because back in the 40s, he was a playboy. He was confident. Steve under his wing and was really his mentor and really not egotistical, but a confident guy. And now he's almost like more of a Steve type, where he's a man out of time. He's trying to adapt to this society that he doesn't understand and doesn't fit in well. It seems he's starting to get up with the technology, and that doesn't seem to be as big of a theme as they had with Steve Rogers when he first came back from being frozen. But I think the theme of kind of, you know, being a man out of time, 106 years old, is gonna be heavier in the next five episodes. And then maybe also his role in terms of, is he a hero? Is he a villain? What does the world think of him? Do they know that he's still alive? It seems the world hasn't been communicated to accordingly, as no one knows what happened to Steve Rogers either. So should be interesting to see how that plays out. So what did you think of his throwback scene as the Winter Soldier's badass, whether he's a villain or not?
I mean I loved it. It's funny, I didn't really expect we'd get much of that, and I'm now, after watching how that episode was structured, I feel like we're gonna get that in like every episode or some bit of it. I mean, that whole scene was total badass. I actually like that better than anything we saw in his movies. Like, that was for as short as it was, and it gave you context again to really realize why he is struggling, because he was a horrible person. I mean, he was just a killing machine.
Right. Well, I'm a nerd. It is what it is. But did you not get chills hearing the Winter Soldier theme playing in the background?
No.
Violin, like, you know.
I did.
Oh, my God.
That was great. It was
so badass. I'm so glad they're using the original score for some of this stuff. It's all connected.
It's constantly, it's always connected. I mean, yeah, I joked with this with Matt all the time. I mean, he may not agree with me, but Kevin Feige, greatest producer of all time.
Well, you know what? He's up there. I'll say that. He's up there. This is all connected so well. Everything works. Even the stuff that doesn't work ends up working. So like, they can make a mistake or a gaffe. It's happened in the cinematic universe, and they find a way to fix it in later movies or later things. So he's up there. Top three for sure.
No detail goes unnoticed in his stuff.
Yeah. But, I didn't look up, did Henry Jackman do the score for this show, or was it just, they just borrowed from his old soundtrack?
I'm not positive, so no one can quote me on this. I think they just borrowed it from the old soundtrack. I mean, they can do whatever they want with that stuff. They own it. So
yeah,
I'm thinking that's what happened.
And, did you notice who the director was?
I did not.
So director is actually not, he's not a stranger to the Marvel universe. Directed at least one episode of the Punisher series on Netflix. Carrie Skoglund is the name. I will actually right now just give a brief background. Carrie is a Carrie as in the woman named Carrie. She has done several episodes of The Handmaid's Tale, did this entire 6-episode run, did episode of The Punisher, several episodes of The Walking Dead, episodes of The American. So what a resume for her. And if this episode is any indication, she directed the hell out of this episode.
They definitely know how to get talent, and they know how to build on their talent and making them into superstars. I mean, no one really cared too much about the Russo brothers, for example. And now those guys are going to basically get whatever, any movie they want, because they've shown they can handle big budget and they can also do intimate stories as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, I think this is going to be the perfect mix they're weaving in pretty much everything you'd want from a Marvel show, from the big action sequences to the heart. The heart is going to be a huge aspect of this show. The heart from a perspective of personal relationships, family, patriot, being a patriot, what it means to serve one's country, what it means to come back from war and assimilate back into society. Heart will be a huge part of this show. And then nostalgia. I mean, again, I'm a nerd. I almost shed a tear when I saw Colonel Rhodes. I mean, these are characters that over the last decade, more than a decade now, I mean, it's been almost 15 years since the first Iron Man came out. We've fallen in love with these characters. They feel like family. You watch them struggle and you feel it. And you feel it as you watch it. And you want them to win. You're rooting for every single one, even the villains that have made mistakes, like the Winter Soldier, like Bucky, right? And then just seeing them, and you got Sam at the heart of episode one is such a it's watching him navigate the world, and Anthony Mackie just acts to perfection in this episode. You feel it, and you feel it when you see him give his speech about Steve when he hands the shield in. You feel it when it zooms in on Colonel Rhodes' face when they talk about the loss of Steve and he looks away. I mean, these guys are the cream of the crop. They should all be in starring roles of every movie to come out ever. They should all get Oscars. I mean, they just cast the hell out of these roles. And I just love seeing them back on a format that we could see more and more and see what they can do with it. You and I had this conversation. I said, I didn't know if Sebastian Stan was going to be able to rise to the occasion with more content. And so far, homie's been in, in some acting classes. Cause wow. I mean, look, the Sebastian Stan I know was in a movie called The Covenant, and he was a villain, and it was the worst acting I've ever seen in my entire life. It was laughable.
I thought you were going to bring up Gossip Girl.
Oh, yeah. He was pretty bad in that as well. But you know what? He got to date Serena, and, anyway, let's not get into that nerdness. But
no.
But he did... He did such a good job. I'll point back to my favorite scene with Bucky in it. Bucky is two characters. He's the Winter Soldier, so that I look at those as two unique identities. And then Bucky is the good guy. Winter Soldier is the guy that made all the mistakes and did all the bad things. The scene with Bucky in the therapy session, I thought, was it told me everything I needed to know. Sebastian Stan, he's a star. I still think Anthony Mackie is the winner of this episode in terms of just really making me care, making me give a lot of, I care a lot about what happens to him. I care a lot about what happens to his sister, who is new, a brand new character, right? I care. And I, the key to ingredient to any show that I'm going to be invested in, I know within the first 15, 20 minutes, is this going to be something that I can't turn off? Thank God this is makes me wait a week to watch the next episode. I would have been done. I would have been done within one sitting. I would have finished it because it would actually, the sixth episode would probably be less than the Snyder cut in terms of total length when you combine them. Would have finished it. Thank God, because now I have something to look forward to for the next 6 weeks. And I this is going to be a great show. I'm calling it. I don't think there'll be a bad episode because I know these things. I'm emotionally invested. I care. I care about all the new characters. I care. We should talk about it. The government contractor that
Sam's partner.
Yeah, who is this guy?
He's a great addition. They played well, very well off each other. I mean, we don't know much about him yet. My prediction is, I mean, he's definitely going to become, I think he becomes the new Falcon of sorts. And okay. I know we want
sidekick kind of.
Sorry, what?
Like a sidekick?
Yeah, more like a sidekick to the eventual new Captain America who, you know, the way of this show is going, I do believe that is going to be Sam. In the comics, both him and Bucky have become Captain America. I just think in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, unfortunately, Bucky's probably just going to get passed over. It's just not in the cards for him in this story. But so I do think that's where that character comes in. And I think they're kind of setting that up already. He was really into Sam's tech. And you could tell he's looking up to him a little bit, oh my God, you're an Avenger type thing. And I think Sam's going to bring him along for the ride, just how he was brought along for the ride by Steve.
You know, when he first came on the screen, I didn't trust him. I have trust issues.
I could see
and
that.
So, When he was sitting there and he's asking all these questions and he's looking at the tech and he's like trying to let me do it for you. And I'm like, is this guy like a double agent or something? I had this just something felt off. Right. But by the end of the episode, which I think we get into right after this, when he was, his orbital bone was broken and he got knocked out. I even right then and there, he had the mask on and everything. I'm like, wait a second. Is he one of them? Is he going to be a bad guy? Like what's happening? But then he calls Sam and then I'm like, okay, I trust him. I think he's going to be a big role. I think he will play some type of good sidekick. It's not going to take away from, this is going to turn into a buddy cop show between Bucky and Sam who hate each other. Really. I mean, they both are united in their love for Captain America and Steve, but I don't think they actually truly like, I don't think.
Yeah. They're not going to be best buds. That's going to develop over time. And like you said, I don't think it's going to take away from them. They are the two stars of the show. I think that they're building Sam's relationship with his partner in terms of the long game, that he will become a character within this universe. When I don't necessarily know where they're going to go with Bucky's future, if I'm being honest. Like this, I know the show is called Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I, at the end of the day, this is going to ultimately be Sam's show, in my opinion.
Well, I think the first, if the first episode is foreshadowing anything, that you're hitting the nail on the head. Sam is the star of this story. And frankly, he should be in this universe. Steve gave him the shield. Exactly. He passed the shield, which means he passed the torch for this story. This is the heart of the story. And that's something I actually think we should do every single week when we talk about this is, look, in the comics, Bucky is Captain America at one point, or many points, actually, as is Sam. I think every week we should basically say who deserves the shield the most. I think it'll boil down to the two of them, though, you know, Sidekick can play a role at some point. And then I am waiting with bated breath for my girl Sharon to show back up, because I'm sure she'll take the shield some weeks. But I mean, to your point, it's not, there's no comparison. This week it's Sam's episode. The shield is his. Would you agree?
100% agree.
But let's get into that last sequence there. So the Flag Smashers are this terrorist group, it seems, right? They kind of give you, you know, somewhat Hydra vibes. In the comics, there wasn't a group. There was a guy named Flag Smasher. He was just he wasn't anything special, no super abilities. He was just an agent. But it seems like they're going towards this kind of theme that it's like some type of organized, you know, almost, from what I gathered in the viewing, and I'll have to go back and rewatch, but it seems like they preferred the world in the 5 years that half the population had been wiped off the face of the earth. That's how they want things governed. That's how they want things to go back. So I'm going to guess they're going to try some type of mass genocide to bring it back, even score, whatever it is. Seems like that's the direction they're going in. What did you gather from the Flag Smashers?
No, I gather the same thing. They definitely do not like the new world order that we're in right now, that we're going back to. They want things to go back the old way. And I personally, I don't want it to be so predictable, but I do think a twist could ultimately be played, which has been used before in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but is that they're ultimately going to be working with the government, because the leaders in charge right now kind of want the world to go back that way as well. That's what I'm predicting so far, where the new Captain America US agent is going to come into play. I mean, the show ends, obviously you're like, oh my God, there's a new Captain America, but you're not going to ultimately believe that. They don't want you to think that he's bad, but he's definitely not the quote unquote Captain America that, you know, the world thinks he's going to be. And I think he is going to be in cahoots with that group.
I think that's a good, I think you're hitting on something. I don't know whether, you know, he, right now, we don't know, is he going to be a hero or a villain? You know, I tend to side with the idea that he does serve as some type of anti-hero or villain. I think what US agent, you know, in the comics, where he really, why he was a quote unquote villain, and he was like the antithesis of Steve. Steve operated under his own moral code, what he thought was right, what was best for the world. US agent follows orders.
Exactly. I was going to.
No matter what it is, and if it goes against his own moral compass, doesn't matter, he's going to do it, right? And so I think, to your point, you know, the government chose him for a reason. And let's keep in mind, you know, we've already had some repeat cast members come in from the Winter Soldier. And if we go back to the Winter Soldier storyline, it's this group of folks, this group of characters against the government, right? The government hasn't always been on the side of Captain America and his inner circle. Even in Civil War, I mean, you had Tony Stark siding with the U.S. government, but you had kind of Steve Rogers and Sam Wilson and Bucky kind of, you know, going against what the government's wishes are, because they thought, hey, that what's best for the world, what's best for free will, what's best for, you know, their, in terms of their moral compass. So I think they continue that theme. The U.S. government isn't always good.
Exactly. I mean, Captain America within the MCU is, ironically, his name is Captain America, but he's never been the pawn of America. He has stood right for the people. And like you just, you hit the nail on the coffin, like he has always done what he thought was best and didn't, was no pawn to the government, where that's exactly why they have this new Captain America. That's what he's going to be. And they fully knew Sam would never be that person. He's ultimately now kind of the Winter Soldier storyline. This U.S. agent is being controlled instead of by the Russians, by the United States of America.
Right. And to what end is what I'm so anxious to find out. I think he will be a villain. I want to know how he plays a role with the Flag Smashers. I think we've got so many different, there's so many different stories brewing, you know, and I read a couple of reviews of this episode and, you know, a lot of people were praising the first 10 minute action sequence. And then, you know, some people are saying, oh, well, you know, they're sticking to the formula, you know, more of the same. And I think they watched it with, let's say an immature lens, because I don't think they were really looking at all the foundation. This is a TV show. It has to build a foundation in order to build the full house of the story. And I see so many seeds getting planted and so many different ways that the story can unfold. I think it just makes the next five episodes that much more exciting because it's going to build upon that. And I think the critics that were saying that, I think they got it wrong. I think this is actually, it's human. It's grounded. There's a lot going on. There's so many different, you know, character studies that we need to dive further into. We haven't even gotten into some of the biggest announced cast members, haven't even showed their face yet. We've got Sharon Carter coming back. Probably, I'm hoping next episode. I love her. You know, a couple of villains. I'm not going to, if people aren't watching the news and stuff like that, I don't want to spoil anything. There's a couple other villains that have been announced that will be coming up in the upcoming episodes. This is gonna be a great show. So what would you rank this episode out of 10?
I mean, I'd actually give it a 10 out of 10. I hate to like give it that high of a rating right off the bat, but like I loved it. It was everything I wanted and more, and I only think it's gonna get better. It honestly exceeded my expectations. I didn't expect it to be a 10 out of a 10.
What do you want to see more of? And is there anything that you would say, hey, I could see a little less of that and be just fine?
Well, I definitely want to see more of Sam and Bucky, ironically, being separate. I know they're going to come together. It's probably going to happen in the next episode, but I did find their separate storylines interesting. And I feel like the moment they come together, it's going to diverge into the problem right in the present. So that is something I can answer that what I want to see more and less than the same answer, because I would like to see less of the team up, but I do think that we're going to get more of that than probably my liking. I mean, it's not a bad thing because, hey, it's going to be awesome, but I do like seeing where they're at without each other in their, you know, superhero team up type way.
I never thought I'd say it, but I really agree, because to me, I almost want to see the Falcon and the Winter Soldier as two separate shows that ultimately come together, because there's so much backstory we can get into with Bucky. There's so much he needs to deal with personally, and there's amends he needs to pay. There's names he's crossing off a list I need to go through and make things right. And there's so many cool things they can go into and then do more of those epic flashbacks of the Winter Soldier. I would love that, right? And then Sam, again, the heart of the story, Anthony Mackie he's one of the best actors in Hollywood right now. This show proves it even more. He doesn't get enough credit. I texted you. He's a superstar. He absolutely is a superstar, and I want more of him. He got plenty of his fair share in this episode, and I still want more. Honestly, I'd like to see more of the therapy scenes. I don't know why I liked it so much, but I thought it was witty. I thought it was dove really into the headspace that is Bucky. I want more action sequences. These need to be 2-hour episodes, and we need an hour of just that first 10 minutes over and over and over again, because it's badass. It's on the edge of your seat. It's nail biting.
We'll get more action scenes like that.
We will. And definitely in the last episode for sure. And then I want to see more personal relationships. You know, I want to see, you know, Bucky went on a date. Does that lead anywhere? You know, I think if I'm going to predict the future, Sam or Bucky is going to have a romantic love interest with Sharon. That it's going to happen. I think she's going to end up being a love interest. I know she was a love interest to Steve in the movies, but I think they'll share. One of them's getting with Sharon. I know it's going to happen. So you don't seem to agree with me there.
I don't think they'll go that way.
I think they will. Well, you know what?
I wouldn't be upset if they do. I personally think they're going to focus on her being a strong, independent woman who doesn't need a man, whether you like that or not. Not that that matters. I just feel like there's not going to be much romance going on, especially just because of her past with Steve as well.
Yeah, I think her and Sam are getting together.
All right. I would like to be proven wrong.
Great. I like the character, and the Carter family is just awesome. And I'm excited to see where they go with her story. So honestly, I didn't give my ranking yet, but I agree with you. And I'm the toughest critic in the world. Charlie and I, always texting each other about movies, and I am very, very it's hard to satisfy me because I watch so many movies and I look with a critical eye, and a lot of times I don't agree with the majority in terms of, you know, if a movie's a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, I generally won't like it, and then if it's low ranking, I should do it. Just who I am. But honestly, this is a 10 out of 10 episode. There's not much more you could ask from it. It had everything. I think it's a perfect pilot episode. It keeps me interested. I might stay up until midnight or 3 a.m. whenever it comes out on Thursday, just to watch it first, because I just don't want to wait. I'm so excited for episode 2.
I agree. Couldn't agree with you more. It's great. I think this show, in terms of the Marvel Cinematic Universe on Disney Plus, as great as WandaVision was, I loved it. This is going to bring it to a new level.
I agree. All right. Well, I think that's a good ending point for episode 1. I think we'll come back next week and probably recap episode 2 and talk a little bit more about how the story's progressing and go from there.
Yeah, sounds great. Thank you everyone for listening. Definitely be back with more of this.
All right. Signing off.